What is your name?
Mike Everett.
Where were you born?
I was born in Ormskirk, just outside Liverpool.
When were you born?
1st of the 6th, 1949.
What did your parents do for a living?
My father was a Canadian and he came over here. I stayed just after the war and married my mother. My father worked at Ford's and the Peerless Oil Refinery.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school in St. George's in McGull as a junior. And then I went to St. Bede's in Ormskirk.
How long have you supported Everton Football Club?
Well, my father played American baseball. And in those days, Everton had a baseball team. And he actually played for Everton. So he used to take me up to the club as a kid. I must admit, I didn't really... the best part about the day was a comic and a bag of crisps, really, rather than watch the football. But I probably became an Evertonian probably in my early teens, when I started to sort of get a feeling for what it was all about.
How long ago was that?
It was round about... I started to take an interest about 1960, serious interest, 60 to 61.
Why Everton Football Club?
Well, as I said, my father took me there as a kid, and it was, to be truthful, it was a good time to be an Everton supporter. Harry Katchick had just taken over, and I think it was 1961. And those 10 years were absolutely glorious years to follow a football club. And as they said, if you know your history... Which is true, because Everton were the big club in the town those days, not Liverpool.
What was your first game?
Oh, I can't remember, John. I went to so many. Probably the first game I can remember was when my father took me, and it was to go to see Stanley Matthews, and it was Blackpool, obviously Blackpool at home. And they wouldn't give you the team before the game. So everybody turned up to see Stanley Matthews, of course, and he wouldn't be playing. So probably my first game was Blackpool at home that I can really remember.
Who is your favourite player from the past?
Oh, no doubt whatsoever, it was Alan Ball.
Who's your favourite player now?
Well, you look at a different perspective when you were a kid. When you're a kid, you idolise players, don't you? Now you see them for what they are. But got a lot of time for the likes of Arteta. I think he's a fantastic footballer. And you look at Cale with his attitude. And probably like Stephen Pienaar sort of, encompasses everything of what I think a footballer should be, apart from the fact that he's a little bit mercenary. But he gives you 100% on the football field.
Have you ever met a player?
Yes, I've met several over the years. I've met Peter Reid, Alan Stubbs, Colin Harvey. I never met Alan Ball. Met Joe Royal. Probably lots of others that I can't remember at the moment, but I've met quite a few footballers over the years.
Who was your favourite manager of the past?
Oh, well, it's got to be Harry Katchick.
What was your most memorable Everton match?
It's got to be, I think it was in 1960. '67, I think it was, and Everton drew Liverpool in the fifth round of the FA Cup, and it was one of the first games that Ball played, because he just signed after the World Cup in 1966, and it was 64,000 at Goodison Park, and there was 47,000, was it, or 41,000 or something, at Anfield. Altogether 105,000, I remember that. And Alan Ball scored. I don't even remember much about the game, to be honest with you, but I just remember us winning 1-0 and what such a fantastic feeling it was. It was fantastic.
How has going to a match changed for you? Ticket prices, programmes?
Oh, I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it? When I was a child, I delivered papers in Aintree Village, and in that area there was Bobby Collins, Jimmy Gabriel, Johnny Morrissey, Alex Young, all I delivered papers to all their houses. They only lived in semi-detached houses. They were on about £60 to £100 a week, which was probably three times the national wage average. And we paid something like 3 shillings, 2 and 6, to get into Gladys Street, which was a pint and a half of beer. And now, what's a pint of beer now? £2.50, and it's £33 to get in the match. So it's a little bit different than what it was then. The players lived amongst you. I could go to the Dave Hicks. I missed one out, actually. Dave Hicks, and one of the legends of Liverpool. I remember knocking at his door and giving him my... he lived in a semi-detached house in Moston Avenue, and I gave him my autograph book, and he said, "Sonny, I'll take this into the club," because he was still working at the club. And I went back the week later, and nearly every player had signed the autograph book. "When could you do that now?" He said, "They've got estates. You'd never get past the electric gates." So that's a little bit of a downside, really, of football, but it's my thoughts anyway.
How has the ground changed, Goodison Park?
The ground hasn't changed a great deal, apart from the fact that I was in there against Real Zaragoza, I think it was 1967, after we won the FA Cup in 66. I was, can't remember the dates now, but it was against Real Zaragoza, and it was something like 68,000 in there. And you could hardly put your feet on the ground, and the atmosphere was electric. It's different now, because it's all seated. But, you know, I can still remember great nights in there, like when we played Bayern Munich, you know, which was, the atmosphere was fantastic. But it was different. When you had nearly 60 to 70,000 people in the ground, it was what a fantastic feeling it was, you know. But in saying that, it was uncomfortable as well and dangerous.
Do you have any match day rituals?
Not really. No, I can't say that I do that. I'm not superstitious, so I've not really got any match day rituals now.
What does the Merseyside Derby mean to you?
Well, probably one of the worst feelings in my life was when we played Liverpool at Wembley for the first time after Heysel, I think it was, and they beat us 3-1, and I left about 10-15 minutes to go. And we had a good side then. That was when Lineker was playing for us. And I remember feeling so desolate. I couldn't speak in the car for an hour. Every time I went to speak, my eyes filled up. I couldn't speak, and it was probably from derby games. I never went to a derby game for a long time after that, to be truthful. I have started going again, but that derby game at the FA Cup, it was like years ahead, so rolled into one, and I don't know, it was a pretty dreadful feeling, I have to say. So they mean a lot to me.
What's the furthest away match you've been to?
Probably Wembley, I suppose, yeah.
What's your favourite away ground?
Old Trafford, for sure.
Why?
I think it's just a cauldron. It's so tight to the pitch, considering you can get 84,000 people in there. You know, it's banked up high, and the roof comes over and off, and the sound system they've got in there is absolutely fantastic. And they play their song before. I'd love to hear the Johnny Todd through Manchester United sound system. It is just fantastic. And they really gee the crowd up. And I've been there numerous times to watch Everton play there. And I've seen us win there round about 1967-ish, something around there. And I remember it was the first few games of the season, and I was playing football in those days. I played a lot of football myself on Sundays. And one of the guys where I worked had broke his leg and couldn't. He had two tickets. So I drove his car because he couldn't drive it. So the two of us went to Old Trafford and we won 2-0. I think Joe Royle scored one and Alan Whittle scored the other. Now I can't remember. And we were in the scoreboard end. We were looking down the other end at the Old Trafford end. And about 5 minutes left, because Bobby Charlton played, George Best played. And I remember looking up at the Old Trafford end, and it emptied out completely. And I thought, they've all gone home. Little did I know they were waiting for us outside when they opened the scoreboard end. So I ran for my life. But Old Trafford's my favourite ground.
Have you been to any internationals, for instance? Did you go?
Yeah,
to
I've seen an England international at Goodison Park. I think it was England against Northern Ireland when they had the home champions, the home internationals. So we've seen Everton there. I didn't see any of the World Cup games at Goodison. I think it was very difficult to get tickets. I was a bit young then. I didn't have a lot of money. But I think there was one fantastic game, I think. Wasn't it between Korea and... was it Portugal, was it? Portugal and Korea? Korea or Italy or something, they winning. Anyway, I didn't... There was some good internationals there during the World Cup of 66, but I didn't see any.
What do you think of the idea of Everton and Liverpool sharing the ground?
I got mixed feelings over that. I mean, to me, as a lifetime fan of Everton Football Club, say nearly all my life for 50-odd years, there's a history, like sitting in this library now, there's a history to it. You know, there's a history to that room outside, a history to all these books. So all of a sudden we move into a concrete stadium somewhere in Kirby or in Speke or wherever it may be. That history goes, it's something that's in there. And I think there'll be a lot lost. I mean, Man United has never moved. They managed to use Old Trafford and modernise it. So I don't really see why should we lose that history and the building itself. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it should be on a preservation order on the building. It's part of Liverpool. It's 130 years old or whatever it is. So why any other building we wouldn't just knock down like that? Why that one? So yeah, I've got some feelings about that. I think we should stay where we are and spend our money on preserving the building and bringing it up to date.
Has football become too commercial?
Well, you've got to say yes to that, haven't you? I think everything will come to its final ending in the end, its fruition, because I think, you know, that it can't go on the way it was going. The world's financial crash, in some respect, hasn't affected football, but it's starting to now. A year after the financial crash happens, you start to see now that they've, you know, Gordon Brown and his wisdom has put the tax up to 50%, which starts to see the one or two key players which make the difference in these big games of starting to exit the UK and the Premier League to other leagues where the tax system's lower. We can't match the Europeans now with wages because, you know, 50% of it's tax. And I also think that it will come to its end anyway. We were seeing Portsmouth in a dreadful state, 119 million in debt. We're looking at Manchester United and Liverpool together being over £1 billion in debt. This can't go on. It's got to come to an end. There will be a conclusion to this. It wouldn't surprise me that Manchester United or Liverpool went into receivership at some time, because at the moment now they're relying heavily on the income from Champions League to pay off the interest on these loans. So I think the commercialisation of football to where it's got to is now is going to have an effect on those clubs that have not been managed in a conservative way, and this will happen for sure.
Can you tell me an Everton fact or a story that most people haven't heard of?
Not really. I've got my own stories. You know, going from here, going down to, I remember it was the FA Cup semi-final against Manchester City at Villa Park, and I had no money, and I think I had 10 shillings in my pocket, but I was determined to go and stand outside the ground. So I thumbed a lift all the way to me and a friend, all the way to Villa Park, and I was stood there outside, and a vicar or a priest came up to me and said to me, "Are you looking for tickets?" So I said, "Yes." I said, "But I've got no money." So he said to me, "He said, yeah, son, you can do a 7 and 6 hit." So he gave me the two tickets. So somehow it was a miracle that we got tickets, and we got into Villa Park. Unfortunately, we got beat 1-0, and nobody picked us up on the way home because obviously they were all miserable. So I was thumbing the lifts. It was midnight on the M6 in March or April. It was cold. And we were desperate. We were hungry. We were cold. And in the end, this guy stopped and picked us up. And he was a nice guy, but he was homosexual, to be fair. And he said, I'll take you to a place where you'll get a lift, because this one's not a very popular junction. So he took us another junction on the M6 and dropped us off. So he said to my friend, well, he said to me, you go and thumb a lift and you can stay in the car and somebody will stop to pick one up. And when he stops to pick you up, I'll let Alan can run out and get in the car, which is what happened. We got a lift back. So Alan said to me, he said he put his hand on my knee. He said, but it was so cold. He said, I sat in the car and touched me knee. So, but there was no harm done. You know, he was actually a nice guy. And we got a lift back to the, back, got home about 2 o'clock in the morning. So we managed to get all the way down to Birmingham to see us get beat, fair enough. And on no money at all. Well, that's a story. One of the many stories, but you know, it was a fact.
Well, thanks, Mark. That was excellent. Cheers.